Christian and attending church, and I believed I truly loved the Lord. But there was a day I went to church, and the preacher spoke to me. He said, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my words, my commands, listen to my voice. Jesus really needs to know how deep is your love.
Thank you.
Doesn't want to miss his time alone with the Lord. He doesn't want to miss the prayers. He doesn't want to miss the fellowship. He doesn't want to miss a word from God. The Lord, yes, he will. He'll go anywhere for the Lord. He doesn't want to miss the mission. Oh, no. He doesn't want to miss his calling. No. He doesn't want to miss the will of God. Excuses. There will be no more delays to go all out. There'll be no more making up stories. There'll be no more hiding. He'll start saying, Lord, here I am. When she's fresh like a lily, sweet like a rose, she's like a beautiful flower. So many boys want that beautiful flower, but she says, oh no, I belong to Jesus.
What a blessing. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for your blessing, your ways, and your word. Thanks for guiding us and for blessing us. We are grateful in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for teaching us to love you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. Proverbs 27. I want to share with you about the great effects of your prayer. The great effects of your prayer. And how your prayer is really going to help you because of so many things. If you are in the ministry, Proverbs 27 verse 23 says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." If you are in the ministry, no matter who you are, all right, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. There are many churches that have had large congregations and do not have those large congregations anymore. All right? What you are calling the largest church in the world today will not be the largest church in the world tomorrow. You know, there are some realities that are there. So, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Verse 24. For riches are not forever, and that the crown endure to every generation. So, those of us who are businessmen, look well to your business and know the state of your business if you are considering this scripture in the light of business or prosperity. It does give a prosperity feature here. It says, riches are not forever. So those who are rich today are often different from the people who are rich tomorrow. All right? You may be the greatest, but you've got to look very well. Now, does the crown endure to every generation? Those who are in political power or who are kings and have power, the crown does not keep going to the next generation. That's why God's blessing to David was that his seed would be on the throne forever. Because power, those who are in power today will not be in power tomorrow. True or not true? I said, true or not true? If you came to South Africa 40 years ago, you'll see a different kind of government. 40 years ago. 30 years ago. You see a different kind of government. You wouldn't see any black man on television explaining anything of the government. True or not true? But today, the crown has not endured to the next generation of white people in South Africa. The crown has not endured. Now today we see your party, I think, is ANC. Yeah. If you come to South Africa in some years to come, I don't know how many years, you will be surprised that it's not an important group. Yeah. That's how the crown is. There used to be a king of France. It's not even, have you heard of it before, a king of France? There's no king of France today. They cut off his head. And there's no king. England has a king. Few places have kings. All right? Go to America. Last year, you have Obama and that group of people. Nobody expected. Nobody expected that there would be such a change. Is it not amazing? Is it not fantastic? Is it not wonderful? Yeah. The crown does not endure. The crown symbolizes power, authority, the leaders. Does not. To every generation. Right? Then, the hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself. The herbs of the mountain are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, the goats for the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food. And for the maintenance of thy maidens. Right? So your many maidens that you have in your life, you can look after them very well. If you look well to the state of your flocks and to your herds. So God is showing us here that things don't stay the same. And in fact, things are tending naturally to decay. So if you leave everything, I once watched a film, a documentary called Life After We Are Gone or something. And it showed how every city would become. You leave it for 5 years, 10 years. And they actually have places that have been left abandoned like that. It's amazing. If you walked out of this section of Cape Town and you came back after 5 years, you can't believe what this place would be like. So it's like there is a law of decay. Like everything is just rotting, spoiling by itself. You know? So it's not only the physical structures that are going down, but everything that we build and we do and we create starts to decay. It's just like your body. Your body starts to decay very soon after you are mature. It starts going down. It changes. And you sometimes cannot recognize people. When they show you pictures that this is me, I say, no, it's not you. You say, oh, it is me. True or not true? So intercession, if you don't get into prayer, right, and you just do nothing, everything by itself, without effort, will start reducing. The flocks will reduce. The buildings will be destroyed. The power will go down. The riches will go down. Just be there and do nothing. So without the effort, that is directed towards the ministry, spiritual effort, without intervening, all right, things just go down. Amen. So, prayer is an intervention. Intercession is an intervention. You intervene in the situation. And as you intervene, things change and things get better. So God has called us to stand in the gap. Amen. And prevent the deterioration. Ezekiel 22 verse 30. I sought for a man among them to make up the hedge. In other words, there was a gap here. And the deterioration is coming through here. So I wanted somebody to stand in the gap like this, so that deterioration can't come through this way. All right? So that you should not destroy the land. So we need to become powerful intercessors. And that is why, you know, like Dr. Ogo was sharing, if you are not serious and hardworking, right, your church cannot and will not work. Laziness is one of the reasons for being stuck in the same place. People don't realize that. Pure laziness. Behind many failures is pure laziness. You go to a successful person and investigate his personal life, you will come to two conclusions about the person. Number one, either the person has no gift and is just hardworking, or the person has a gift of hard work. Do you understand? Or you don't get what I'm saying? If you go behind any successful person and find out more about the person's life, you'll find out that either the person has no gift, is just a hard worker, and it's a hard work that is producing the results, or he has a gift of hard work. Like his gift is to work hard. The gift God gave him is to just work hard. Or he's so gifted, and the gifting makes him work hard. I don't know. It's the same thing. Take Michael Jackson. I once watched a little documentary about how they made one of their songs, you know. And I mean, the kind of work that he was doing, very hard work. And I watched another one where somebody visited him, and he was in his studio all alone, working on the music, trying to improve it, trying to do something to the music. Very, very hard work. In fact, he blamed his father, you know, for not having a good time in life and all that. His father made him work so hard, sing all the time, rehearse all the time. I'm surprised that he was blaming his father, because that's what made him famous. You know, there are some people who blame fathers for everything. And it's not a good thing. You know? So anyway, I was listening to, what's his name? Tiger Woods. You know, his practice on a golf course. Very hard. Very, very, very difficult. Those of you who have ever played golf, it's one of the most difficult games. You can be lucky on one day, but that's why they play the competition for 4 days. They start always on Thursday, so that if it's luck, by Sunday the luck will be finished. You can't be lucky every day. So they play on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, always. That's how the competition is. You can't be lucky all the time. If it's luck, by Sunday, it's gone. So Tiger Woods worked very hard. All the people who are successful in whatever field, you know, Bishop Oyedepo, the pastor of probably the largest single church in the world and the largest church building, you know, he has 50,000 people in the church, real people, real people with real, you can touch them, they are real. not computer numbers. Yes. And 52,000 outside. 2 days ago, I saw a picture of the church, the people inside and the people outside. Yeah. He has 52,000 outside and 50,000 inside. And he has 4 services. 2 are full. So 102,000 plus 102,000, then the others come up. So it's almost 400,000 Sunday morning attendance. Yes. Now, when you listen to his life, a few tidbits here and there, you'll be scared to follow him. He's a hard man. Yes, very hard. Hard working. Fasting. All the time. He said people used to tell him, take your time, Brother David. Take your time. The world, he said, no, he cannot take his time. He's working for the Lord. Yeah. When he found a book by Yonggi Cho on church growth and cell system, he got the book, made copies for all his pastors, gave to all his pastors, go and study, come back in 2 weeks, and we are going to analyze the book and see what we are missing. And see what? What we are missing. Pastors don't do that. A lot of pastors don't do that. They just look and say, oh, that's you, it's Korean. That's why it's happening like that. It's a Korean thing. Just as some people say, oh, that's a Ghanaian thing. It's the West Africans. That dismissive way of speaking is the voice of a fool. And I didn't say you were a fool. If you are the fool, then just keep smiling and look straight. No one will know that it's you. Don't dismiss things and say, oh, that's for them. That's Korean. That's American. That's Ghanaian. And it's not Ghanaian, it's Ghanaian. But you keep on saying Ghanaian. That's why I'm correcting you. All right? You find that people work hard. Fasting all the time. Praying all the time. You know, a few weeks ago, Bishop Oyedepo, whom I said had the largest, said, I was just driving home one day and I saw a little banner that, oh, he's coming to Ghana. And I said, oh, then I would have to be there. You know? So I went to the stadium and I had the privilege, I don't know, they called me, they made me sit by him and all that. So I was right on stage, right in the front, ringside, you know? So I watched him preach and everything. He came back, held my hand. I was so happy. Hey, I didn't expect that. I was just going to sit in the crowd, you know. But when we were going back, he said I should come with him in his car. So I sat by him in the car. We went to the hotel. When we got to the hotel, beautiful hotel, nice, newest hotel we have in Ghana, best Ghanaian hotel. So I asked him, are you going tomorrow? He said, no. I'm going tonight. He said, tomorrow, that was Friday, we were on Friday. He said, tomorrow, Saturday, I have outreach. Somebody who has 400,000 people in his church. He says, tomorrow I have outreach. Yeah. I said, what type of outreach? Like what outreach? He said, oh no. We go to the street corners, anywhere. So I said, he said, yeah. My wife goes here, I go here. And he said, oh, I want 67 souls. Last time I won 100 and whatever souls. So he said, he told me I bought two, I have two cars for that. He said, we don't have loudspeakers, nothing. He's just outreach on the streets. Every Saturday, he said, I must be in Lagos tomorrow. So I'm leaving tonight because tomorrow I have outreach. Outreach. And he says, we stand there, and then I preach to whoever is there. And then he said, if there are too many people, then I have the megaphone. And I use the megaphone, preach to them, give their lives to Christ. So, and he was telling me, my wife won 60 souls, something souls, and then I won this soul. So we are winning souls every Saturday. He said, I must leave tonight, but tomorrow I have outreach. If you just go into the little background of people who are making it in ministry, you'll find out that you are on a vacation compared to them. You are on a vacation. You are on a perpetual holiday as far as they are concerned. Perpetual holiday. And I decided I'm going to have outreaches the same. Oh, yes. Every Saturday, I decided, if this man who has 100,000 people coming to, I say 100,000, almost 400,000 coming to church on Sunday, is going to do outreach to win 67 souls. And he's very happy about it. When you add 67 to 400,000, does it change the attendance much? So things are decaying, and what it is your spiritual efforts must be enough to bring everything to zero first of all, and there must be more to take everything beyond zero. So that's why it's so much effort. Amen. Listen, there is a curse in the world, and that curse affects everything that is here. He said, in the sweat of thy face, if you can put that scripture there, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. So that means there's sweating for believers. Real and sweating means hard work. Hard. Huh? And the verse before, it says, thorns and thistles. Oh, if you like, let's read the verse before. It says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. There's a curse. And it's not if you have faith or you don't have faith. It's if you are in this world. So I'm a man of faith. The curse doesn't work. The curse is here, whether you see, you can stand in the rain and say, I don't believe in rain, but it's raining on you. It's raining on you. I don't believe in rain. I don't believe in all these things, but it's raining. This curse is Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, our fathers. And he says, the three things, curse is the ground. And then number one, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. You are going to be sad and sorrow. There's sorrow here. Is there not a lot of sorrow in Cape Town? You can act as if you don't understand what I'm preaching about. I don't mind. There's sorrow. You work and then there's you are sad. Depression. Weeping. Crying. You marry and you are crying. Ask any woman what made you cry in the world. It's your marriage. Like other things that made you cry. It's your marriage. Keep pretending you don't understand. Verse 18. Then thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Now let's think about this. How many of you have a farm and you plant thorns? Like I'm growing thorns. Like that's your crop. Your crop are thorns. Your crops are thorns. Have you ever seen somebody who's planting thorns and thistles? Cape Town, you have wine, isn't it? Wine, fine vines, I don't know what you call, vineyards. That's what you plant. I don't see anybody planting thorns. I'm just taking thorn, making a thorn plantation. So it means that you plant a vineyard, you plant maize, and you get something you didn't expect. You go to a church, you preach, and you are surprised at the reaction. You didn't expect that reaction. Yes. Amazing. You pastor people and you love them and you get something different from what you put in. It's across the whole world is like that. Yeah, the whole world is like that. You give your heart, you give your love, you pour in, and then instead of the cocoa or the grapes or whatever, something else comes. It's like, oh, what is this? But I didn't plant that. Yes. But you are on earth. Welcome to earth. That's why babies cry. The first thing they do when they are born is to start crying. It's like, oh no. First thing is to cry, I tell you. They start screaming as soon as they are born into this world. They sense, where have I come? They never cry till they were born. And one of the things we measure is how many minutes it takes for you to start crying. It's called the APGAR score. We expect you to cry very quickly. If you delay even by 3 minutes, it's a problem. You are not normal. You are not aware of where you are. You don't know where you've come to. Hey! You've landed in Cape Town. So, the world is decaying and everything is going against what you are trying to do. And including the church. There is no mature pastor here who will not agree with what I'm saying. Unless you are new. Yes. I can see fathers here. There are pastors here, fathers. People don't even remember them. What they did, what we did for you, what they did for people. You poured out your heart, you went to extent, you did this, you helped, you prayed, you fasted. They grow up and then they don't even notice you. You become like a bother. Yeah, those who forget. Yeah. Yeah. Those who forget. So, we need prayer. You see, prayer is an intervention. Prayer is what? An intervention. So, if there's no intervention, everything's going to take its normal course. And if it goes by its normal course, you'll not be happy. The normal course is what you don't want. So you need to be a man of prayer so that you intervene in the spirit realm on the natural course, which is negative. You don't have to do anything for things to be negative. That's how it will be. I see a lot of seats in this building, thousands. And I don't know if they are filled on a Sunday. It's not a small thing for this place to be filled and to remain filled for years. Yes. It's not a small thing. Go around the world. I've been round and round and round and round. It's not a small thing. Because you don't have to pray. It's like telling lies. You don't have to teach them. This is how to lie. Step one. Step number two. Step number three. Step number four. Lies just flow. Is it not true? Lies just flow. No training, no teaching. You are lying. How many have told more than 100 lies before since we were born? Even the big pastors are raising their hands over there. All right, so I need us to rise up with strong interventions in all that we are doing. Otherwise, the ministry just goes down, 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 down. Amen. And I tell you, we are going to do that more in Cape Town, in Jesus' name. And you know what? I want to tell you something. Your mind dies before your body dies. Yes. And your mind gets old before your body follows suit. Yes. You see, John Wesley said something. He said that the pains that I had, the pains and the ailments that I had, and the problems I had in my body. He said, now that I'm old, I don't have any of these pains. Yes. I don't have any of these pains anymore. And at the age of 80, in his 70s, he would get up and ride his horse for 80 miles at 4 a.m. Ride, spend the whole day riding to get to the place where he had to preach. Wake up at dawn because he wasn't still getting there. 80 miles a long way with a horse. It's like 150 kilometers. Or the horse walking. You can't gallop. When you're riding a horse, you can't gallop. You can't gallop for long. You have to walk. If you don't ride a horse and you sit on a horse back for 30 minutes, by the time you come off, by the morning, you find a lot of pain all here. A lot of pain. All your muscles on the sides, very strained if you are not used to it. John Wesley was riding horses and preaching. Horses were cars in those days. And he kept on and on and on and on and on and did not reduce his pace till the end of his life. And that accounted for the numerical superiority of the Methodist movement. Yeah. The Methodist movement was not the only movement at the time, but it was numerically superior to all other movements. It was his constant movement and constant going around, never flagging, never reducing in his effort. By the time he was dying, he had bought, I think, or built 400 buildings in the UK. And everyone thought the thing was going to go down, but there were other pastors who had got that spirit. But there are other guys who were equally hard workers and hard followers. If you read about them, you find that some type of fasting people and wild travelers, just like him, they were behaving just like him. He stimulated and stirred up many people to be hard followers and hard workers. Because if you leave it, it just goes down. And today in Methodist Church, you have people that are not following John Wesley. You know, my mother-in-law, she's Methodist. She was big, high up in Methodist Church. And one day I said, if John Wesley was to rise from the dead, I don't think he would join the Methodist Church. And they put it on their Methodist chat group. And some were angry with me and some were saying, but he's telling the truth. Eh? He's telling the truth. They're not full of methods. Yeah. Now they came up with a banner, back to Wesley. We are going back to Wesley. Yes. When you disconnect from your father, you start going down. Yeah. The father of the church, they disconnect from him and he's going down. So they are saying now back to Wesley. We want, well, Wesley was a crusader. He preaches in the morning. Now imagine that, oh, from Bristol or wherever he was driving, you know, 80 miles, which is like 120 kilometers, 150 sometimes, traveled the whole of Saturday on horseback, trying to get to London for his service. He doesn't get there, sleeps in an odd place, then wake up at 4 a.m. and travel from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. to make it in church. 75 years old, 78 years old. Then he gets there, then he preaches the service, and then after that he preaches open air in the afternoon. Yeah, at the age of 70, whatever. Hard working efforts to take us from going down to at least zero and above zero. You leave it, it will turn into something else. And the effort must be spiritual and must be spiritual all the time. It must be hard. Until otherwise, it will just go down. That's how church is. And that's not only how church is. It's how business is. It's how politics is. It's how government is. It's how everything is in the world. Because the forces are always tending to make things reduce and degenerate. Oh, yes. Yes. You don't have to be doing anything bad for things to spoil. It spoils naturally. It's on autopilot. How many realize what I'm saying is real? Yes. So your intervention must be such that it takes you to zero and above. And that's why usually, if you are phlegmatic, lazy, you don't even get to the zero. You don't even get to zero. Yeah. It just keeps going down and down and down. Then you keep inventing numbers. You stop counting people. You start counting chairs. When somebody asks you, what do you do? So I'm a pastor of a 10,000-seater church. Glory to God. Then you start counting. We have 10,000 people every week in church, which means Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They add all. Plus special program, conventions, crusade, everything. They join all. Then you start coming up with different wild estimations. Bizarre estimations. But it's all because things are flagging, things are failing, things are going down, down. So you just have to mention some wild numbers. I remember going around the city looking for, because I heard people, I would count my people. I said, my people are just, they are not even 1,000. And I heard people saying, we have 10,000 members. Hey. Some would say, we have 5,000 members. So I was saying to myself, Lord, save me from my inferiority complex. Because when I hear the thousands and I count my people, it doesn't come to these thousands. So one day I decided, let me go around and check all churches. And I went around and started checking. The first place I went, he said, constant mentioning, I have 10,000, 5,000. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 200, 200, 1, 2, 3, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 and something chairs. I said, 800. Wow. Then I'm not so bad after all. If 800 is 10,000, then I also have 10,000. Yeah. So it is very important for us to rise up with interventionist efforts in our churches. Amen? And one of these great efforts is prayer. Prayer. Prayer is a spiritual thing. And we must pray to fight the decay that is coming on all of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, decay takes place for many reasons because there is just degeneration in the system. Number two, because the world is putting pressure on us. Love not the world. Amen. Neither the things that are in this world. 2 Timothy 4:10 says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So the world is a strong attraction. It's like a magnet sucking our members. So we are here in the church, and there's like a big magnet outside doing this, sucking the people and trying to make the church worldly. Amen. Now, the church is the church. And Jesus, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the things that are in the world should not attract us. But we want so badly to be accepted by the world. Pastors want to be chief executive of banks. Pastors want to be accepted by the world. So, he's in demand as a conference speaker. He's a lecturer, an advisor of governments, an advisor of corporate institutions. He's an advisor on financial engineering. And futurization of earnings. Securitization, sorry. He has a crossover appeal. Yes, he has a crossover appeal. He appeals to the church and he appeals to the world. We're so happy. With such credentials. Instead of being happy that we are men of God, like John the Baptist, who speaks the word and is living in the wilderness, wearing panties, having crusades in boxer shorts. We want the world to like us. We want every kind of person to be in our church. Yeah. But there's a narrow way. And the Bible says, enter the narrow way. For broad is the way, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. But we want to be accepted by the world. The world should say, wow, I like your church. Your church is loving. Your church is kind. Your church is open. This man is not open. Man is not open because he preaches the word of God. So the world is putting pressure on the church. Yes. That is why in the world, in the church, we preach so much about money. Because money is the god of this world. That's why pastors are always talking about prosperity, money, not about the gospel, Jesus, going to the ends of the world. Oh, no, 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 no. Pastors are not like that now. We are more loved of the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, the diamonds, the gold, the hairstyles, the shoes, the clothes, the cars. One day a pastor was talking about another pastor. And he said, "You see, I told you, he's not called. I told you he's not called. He's walking. He doesn't have a car. I told you. I told you he's not called. Since when did the call of God become endorsed and verified and approved of by the presence of a car? I told you he's not called. I told you he's not called. He's walking." Pastors want to have the best cars, the biggest cars. And they need to park near the entrance where everybody sees them. What's the use of a very nice car which nobody sees? You only see it yourself. Hey. Yeah. So we want to be like the world. Yeah. And so much pressure from the media. Yeah. It's interesting, you know. You have people, so much pressure. And that's why we have all sorts of things creeping into the church. Until pastors, you know, a time is going to come, we will not even recognize the church. You know, is this a church? It's a church. Even now, you can't hardly recognize the church. You can't distinguish much between the church and the world. Yeah. Like if you are looking between liars and liars. Liars are even more liars sometimes in the church. Yes. Lies. Lying. Like if somebody comes and says, "Can I be your business partner? You know, I'm glory to God. God called me 4 years ago and spoke to my spirit and said I should build up the financial treasures of the kingdom of God in the kingdom of heaven." You even be afraid of such a person. "I want to be your financial partner. We have one bank account." You'll be scared. People are getting married. You have to check HIV status. There's nothing like a virgin. The only virgins left are Virgin Atlantic, the aeroplanes. And many pastors don't want to mention sins and things that are in the Bible. I once preached in a church and one of the pastors said that the word fornication has never been mentioned in this church before. Yeah, the word fornication has never been mentioned. It's not mentioned. It's just, "Oh, God is pure blessed. God is blessing. This is your day of abundant living. This is your time. This is your moment. God is moving in your life. Every mountain is being moved. Every valley is being healed, filled. Receive the blessing of the Lord. God's power is here tonight. Glory to God. I feel the presence of the Lord. I feel the miracle power of God. Take it one. Take it two. Take it three. Take it four." Hey! This is all that we are hearing. If you start to mention, if you start to read from Ephesians chapter 4, you start to mention fornication, say, "Let it not be mentioned even once." And you say, "It has not been mentioned in this church before." Yeah, that is us today. You cannot, you know, mention your sins, the things that are written clearly in the Bible, which will bring the judgment and the fire of God. Look at it. Fornication. You shouldn't say it. And many other things. Don't have to say it. If you say it, it is something else. Before you realize somebody is dissociating himself from what you are saying. Yeah. it highly provocative. Highly provocative. How can that be? But you see, gradually, I tell you, if you like, try dying and rising from the dead in 10 years' time and see what will be in South Africa. Or rise from the dead in 20 years, 30 years' time and see how it will be. You may not even recognize which world are we in. You ask yourself, are we in one of the ancient cities? No. So, what I'm saying is the world is putting pressure on us to change. So, if you don't pray, you'll be surprised. You'll be called pastor. You know, I tell you, there are people, they can't believe we are pastors. People went as missionaries. People went as missionaries from here. Went to islands, lay on the beach. Dying, ate mice. They ate mice for... They have mice. How you have hamburger? They ate mice. And died. Missionaries died on the beach. They were going as missionaries. They just managed to get to the beach. And their ship wrecked. There was a shipwreck. They swam. Came. Ate mice. These are people that are missionaries. People give their lives. Look at us. People can't believe that we are Christians even. But not even just now. I'll give you 20 years. 10 years. Here. Not only here, all over the world. From our messages. Yes. And the pressure that is on us. Even today as I'm preaching, I'm restricted. Yes. I'm restricted. Yes. It's true. Lest you dissociate yourself from the preaching that I preach. The next thing that is bringing us down is the flesh. Yeah. The curse is bringing us down. The world is putting pressure on us. The pride of life. Now then, the flesh. Hey, as for this flesh, you don't know what it's made of. But I tell you, it's because Satan eats dust. And our flesh is made of dust. One time I exhumed a body, a dead body, after some years. And when I exhumed the body, for various good reasons, there was fine brown dust. The person has turned into dust. Brown dust. Yes. Sticky, eh? It's sticky. Yeah. Yeah. Dust thou art. So your body is actually dust. And he says, Satan was punished to walk on the ground to lick the dust. Dust shall thou eat. So demons love to come and attach themselves to your organs. And they start nibbling them. And when they start nibbling, then you start having all kinds of feelings. Hey. Yeah. The serpent is... Yes. If you see a dead, actually, when you even cremate, it's little dust like that. It's just fine dust. And Satan loves to eat it. He says, dust shall thou eat. Yes. So our flesh, I tell you, there is nobody here who is not being worried by his flesh. Oh, your flesh. Huh? It's affecting you, you see. Yeah. It's like, if you just leave yourself, you will become a sinner. I mean, you will be even wilder than like a professional sinner. Like an unborn again sinner. Do you understand what I'm saying? This flesh. I once heard Yonggi Cho saying that, you know, when he was a young pastor, he wanted to be an old pastor. Because when he's sitting in the office and the beautiful girl comes, then his flesh is affected. So that if he grows older, it will feel the feelings will be less. Ish. When I heard, I was amazed. I said, "Hey, you too." Anybody who is doing anything for God, it's not that he doesn't have a flesh. The flesh is worrying him exactly as it's worrying you. Only that he's managing to overcome it and prevail. That is what he's doing. But it's not that he's not having the feelings that you are having and the tendencies that you are having. It's normal if you are here. You don't have to ever let your feelings take you away from God. Some of you, you sit in church, pastor is preaching, and you are rather thinking of how handsome he is. Instead of receiving the word and the revelation that is coming, you are looking at how handsome the pastor is. Your flesh is alert. Hey! And you are saying to yourself, "Oh Lord, I wish he wasn't married. I wish he wasn't married." One day after church, a sister came up to see, I don't know whether she came to see my wife or myself or one of us, you know. And she asked the pastor who was leading the worship, "Is he married?" And he said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh no! Oh no! No, no, no."
Wrong answer.
How many realize that your flesh is awake and too alive? Now, those of you who think as you get older, your flesh is getting weaker, look at Genesis 22. Abraham was 99 years old. Hey! He says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." Goodness gracious. I thought temptation ended around 38. But at the age of 99, temptations were coming. Is it not amazing? Flesh. So if you don't pray, your flesh goes wild. You see yourself doing things. You say, "Hey, was that me?" It was you. Yeah. Your nature. Natural. Natural male. Natural female. Yeah. Natural. If you follow it, you'll be shocked. Yeah. Natural. I'm a bit restricted in the examples that I want to give. No. You know the examples. You know the examples. Wow. Now, I remember one time I decided to fast for 3 days without eating or drinking. I wanted my flesh to know its place. So, I fasted. Day one, day two, day three. The flesh was, I was killing it softly. By day three, I was doing it with my friend, the two of us. Day three. I don't know how we got to be in the same room. We were both lying down on a bed. We were half dead. And we couldn't move. I was a student in secondary school, boarding school. I was in boarding school. Instead of studying, I was fasting. By day three, I couldn't move. He also couldn't move. So we were like two dead bodies lying down on the bed. Now, suddenly somebody came to knock at the door. It was a box room. Somebody came to knock at the door and said, "Your mother is here." So my mother had come to visit me to bring me food. And I told the person that I cannot come. I cannot move. So tell my mother to go back home. Can you believe it? Yes. I said, take whatever she, but I cannot move. I cannot open that. I cannot move. I was waiting for 6 o'clock. Then I will crawl like a snake to the door. Open the door. So, after this fast, I said to myself that I know people are able to fast for 21 days. A brother was telling me that he was fasting 21 days. He was on his 18th day. No food at all. Yeah, and he was in London. He was catching the bus. So he said, he didn't remember that he was fasting. Started running after the bus. Started running. He was on his day 18. He had forgotten that he was fasting. So I was asking myself, how come by day 3 I was almost dead? So I decided to try this experiment again. I was going to fast for another 3 days. But this time, I wake up at dawn and pray. Because I didn't pray much. I was just trying to last till 6 p.m. Are you with me? So I did it again. I told my friend, let's try again. No, in those days, I was virtually fasting all the time. So I said, we start. He said, cool, let's go. We won't die. We didn't die the first time. We will not die the second time. So we started the fast, and this time, 4 a.m., I was praying. Believe it or not, it's one of the greatest experiments, you can try it, I ever did. Scientific experiments. No weakness, no tiredness. I was strong, I was awake, I was alert. I could move, I could chase a bus, I could chase a rabbit, anything. So I found out that prayer is an intervention against the power of the flesh and the weakness of the flesh. So you must. So when you are prayerless, your flesh will just rule. You do everything. And don't underestimate your flesh, especially what your flesh has tasted before. What is the name of your food? What do you eat? Colored, what do you eat? Colored people, what do you eat? Brie. Samosa. What is the name? Curry. Curry? Is your main food? Yeah. Okay. And the black people eat what? Bohebeli Lama. Is it correct? Chisanyama. Once your flesh knows it, it will always be attracted to it. So that is why young people must be very careful what you allow your body to taste. If your body tastes certain things, foods, anything, it knows it. So when I come and you say, oh, there's Bohebeli Nama here. I say, oh, I don't feel like Bohebeli Nama. I don't have any feeling. I don't know it. My flesh doesn't know it. If you mention another food in Ghana, you say kenke, which is even sour. It's not even sweet. It's sour. It will appeal to me more because I know it from since I was a child. But when you say okelewele, but when you say pap, I said, what is pap? What is pap? So whatever you taste as a child, it worries you for the rest of your life. So if you taste fornication, sex, different things, you become, it can become like a weakness for you. One day I saw a brother, he slept with everybody. I told him, look, it sounds nice, you are like a cock that goes from hen to hen. And you seem to be very powerful. But in future, you see that when you are married, you can't stay with one woman. Because anything that is wearing a skirt and is moving, you will always go in that direction. Yeah. So that's actually one of the reasons why people can't stay married. It's not that they don't want to, but they have a taste. When they see this one, oh, this is the brown type, then so come. This is the yellow type. This is the tall type. This is this type. So, it's a long time since I had this type. They know it. So, you must be careful as a young person. Yeah. It's very strong. Very strong. Very dangerous. One day I was sitting by a lady. I was standing and some brothers were passing by and she made a sound with her mouth. I said, she made a sound. Something. I said, hey. Yes. Like, have you watched wildlife? You see the lion will be licking there. She made that sound. Some guys were passing by and she would say, wow. But that is all her, that was her life. She had been with hundreds. Hundreds. When she saw, it's what she knows. Yes. It's what she knows. If you marry this person, you'll be asleep in the night wearing your pajamas and she'll be climbing the wall going over somewhere in the night. Are you listening to my preaching? So you must become spiritual, especially young people. Be spiritual. Fight. Don't play with your flesh. Don't play. People who take drugs, they did experiments. They take the drugs, they did experiment with mice. They give the mice cocaine. and drugs, mice. Then they keep them in a room without food, without water for 3 weeks. Then they bring the mice out, which haven't eaten, haven't drank water. And they put food here. And they give the mice are cocaine addicts. They are drug addicts. The rats. So they bring them out of the room. Here's food. Here's water. And here's drugs. Crack, whatever you call it. The mouse, which hasn't eaten, hasn't drank for 3 weeks. There's food smelling beautiful. Sardines, nice. It doesn't go. It goes straight to the drugs. It's stronger than the desire for food. Yes. I read it. You know, one of where a pastor died from taking drugs, and I was trying to understand what happened to him. You know, and then I was reading and I saw that it's not something easy to overcome. No. It's something when you joke with it, it changes your life. You will pray, you will be doing things. It's not going. Yeah. It affects us in the ministry. But sometimes when you see somebody keeps going back to sin, going back to sin, you learn as a pastor that some people cannot change. One day the Lord told me, this man cannot change, huh? He cannot change. So just help him like that. He told me to give him money to help him to do everything. I look after him till he died. And I knew every time I gave him, I knew what he was going to do. And he could not change. Yeah. So you should be careful. And you must be spiritual. If you joke with the flesh, Satan eats the dust. So your prayers must be directed to fight the laws of the flesh. And then human nature is also negative. Betrayal. John 2:24. It says, but Jesus did not commit. Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. He knew what? He knew all men. He knew all men. And verse 25. And needed not that any should testify of man. Like he didn't need anybody to talk about human beings to him. For he knew what was in man. So man's behavior, our nature, is such that it fights against everything good. Yeah. Sometimes you wonder, I mean, when you look at the world, you wonder why the world is going this way. It's amazing. Is it not amazing? Wow. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 7. Or let's read verse 6 first. Verse 6. For I desired mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Amen. Now notice this one. But they, look at this, they like men. Like who? Like devils? Like demons? Like fallen angels? Like what? Men have done what? Have transgressed the covenant, that is disobeyed. And then number two, have dealt treacherously. Disloyalty is the nature of man, not in the church, of man. Whether in the church, out of the church, in politics, everybody is treacherous. Until they are taught. That is why, when I started preaching about loyalty and disloyalty, it was like, people were so amazed. How did you know what was happening in our church? I don't know what's happening in your church. I just have to preach what's happening in my church, and it will be happening in your church. I don't have to preach what's happening in your church. I have to preach what's happening in my church. It will be happening in your church. Hosea 6, 7. They, like devils, like what? Like men, have transgressed the covenant and have dealt, there have they dealt treacherously against me. Disloyalty. So joke with it. Everybody will be disloyal. Everybody will turn against you. Everybody will fight you. Everybody will betray you like Judas. Everybody will murmur. Everybody will complain. Everybody will speak against you quietly. Everybody will smile at you. And when you turn your back, they will speak against you. Everybody is like that, unless you teach them that it's wrong. Joke with it and see for yourself. Joke with it. People will not remember. They will not remember the fathers. The gray hair. Bible says you shall stand up before the gray hair and honor them. Like, they will not remember you. You leave them, they won't even respect you. They will not. You'll be surprised. You will say, do you not remember? They'll say, your time is past. They say, your time is past. They say, look, God is doing new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Like men, it's normal. It's normal. They'll set you aside. You won't believe that they are setting you aside. They'll put you away. They will never honor you. Ordinary, if you don't teach people to honor, they will never honor you. It will never happen naturally till you teach them. Honor me, remember on my birthday, this is it, or Galatians 6:6 Sunday, or whatever time to honor the fathers, honor the pastor. If you like, leave it natural. Nobody will ever remember you. It's the nature of human beings. That is how people are. Remember what the Bible says? God is not a man that he should do what? Lie. So lying is part of human nature. So Jesus did not need anyone to tell him about a man or what was in man. He knew what was in man. These people, they would turn again. Look at what Jesus did. He preached, healed, saved, ministered, fed 5,000. There must have been thousands in Jerusalem who have benefited from Jesus' ministry. And when the time came, what did he reap from them? Thorns, thistles. Peter said, I'm sorry, I don't know. Do you know Reverend Dr. Jesus? I don't know. I don't know him. Thomas, I don't know. Judas said, oh, give me 30 pieces, I'll do away with this stupid man. He's depressed. He's always telling, say he's going to die. He's mad. True or not true? True or not true? So you need spiritual interventions. So you sit down and not pray. The whole church will go this way. Flesh will go this way. The world will push us this way. Degeneration will push us this way. Everything will go this way, that way, this way, that way, like that. That's the world. That's our church. It's not a small thing to be a Christian or to be a believer or to be a minister. You are fighting against, before even the devil, all this, have I mentioned the devil? I've not yet come to the devil. So I can't imagine the devil hasn't even come into the picture. I mean, you are telling the church, let us pray. The devil, even put the devil aside. The flesh of the members will put them to sleep. You are telling the church, let us fast. The flesh of the members will make them not fast. You are telling the church, this is the will of God. The world system will put pressure on the church not to be like God or godly, but to be worldly and accept worldly values, worldly standards, and amazing worldly standards, which you can't even believe that will ever be accepted in the church. The pressure is so much, so much, for the church to just accept and succumb. Yeah. So all this, you see that Satan has not been mentioned at all. All right? So, if you like, sit there and say, I'm not going to pray. I'm just there. All these things will swamp you out. And so this book, Transform Your Pastoral Ministry, talks about interceding against the law of the realities of all these things, the world. I didn't write this book for now. I wrote it a long time ago. The reality of the world, the flesh, the nature of man, the elements, human nature, the flesh, the world, to intercede, to overcome this and bring you at least to zero. I see you becoming a mighty prayer warrior. I see you becoming a mighty prayer warrior. And then, of things that are determined against you. Yeah, there are things that are appointments. Daniel 9:24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. It says, 70 weeks are what? Determined. Hey! Are what? Determined. So you see, you came into a world where certain things were determined. Like for instance, I believe apartheid was determined to be dismantled in 1994. Is that when it ended? 94? It was determined. So you may come into the world planning things that will work under a regime like apartheid, but it's planned that it will be over. It's determined that that's the end. It's like communism. There was a time determined it's over. Russian whatever, finish. Go to Russia today and see. They are modern capitalists. Businesses, you think you are in any European city. Moscow. Beautiful cars, every type of. At first you go, they only see Lada. Lada and Russian cars. Now you see every kind of car. More millionaires there. So there are things that are determined. Your life, your death. Determined. Maybe you came into this world and a curse was spoken over your mother. Job 7 verse 1. Is there not an appointed time? Hey. Have you heard of this man, Ivan the Terrible? Is it Ivan the Terrible? Yeah. Ivan the Terrible. Is that his name? You heard of his name before? Ivan the Terrible. Yeah. His mother was the wife of the Tsar. Tsar is the Russian word for Caesar. They had Caesar. Russia has Tsar. So they had the Tsar, I think. If I'm right. My memory serves me right. And he was married to his wife for a long time and she couldn't have a child. And then he decided to go and take another woman and had a child with the woman. And the woman who could not have a child, she cursed the woman who was the Tsar had gone for to have a child with. And did the curse. He said, may you give birth to an evil son. Yeah. May you give birth to an evil son. That was this Ivan the Terrible. Yeah. What a prayer. What a prayer. Before you were born, somebody has spoken a curse. May you give birth to an evil son. So you come into this world and things are spoken. Set and ready to meet you on the way. But when you go into prayers, I said, when you go into prayers, when you go into the spirit with an interventionist mind to intervene in all matters concerning your life and your destiny and your future, you see that some of these wicked appointments are cut off. Whatever is determined in your life as an evil thing, today it is cut off in Jesus' name. Now, Another thing that affects our lives, maybe sometimes negative, positive, I don't know, are the stars. I know you don't believe in astrology, and neither do I. But I believe in Job 38, verse 31. It says, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth the Mazaroth in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinance of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth?" Amen. Look at verse 31 again. "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades?" Now, those of you here in South Africa, you have a very nice sky that you can see the stars beautifully. It says, can you, what's the next verse? Verse 32. "Canst thou bring forth Mazaroth in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons?" If we have a chance when we go outside, I'll show you the Mazaroth. The Mazaroth is the Hebrew word for constellations. And there are 12 famous ones that make up the zodiac. All right. But the Orion, go back to verse 31. It says, "Can thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades?" If we go outside and the sky is clear, I'll show you the Pleiades. It's right there. It's part of Taurus the Bull. It's right there. Beautiful. Seven of them. If you go to London, there's a tube station called Seven Sisters. It's the Seven Sisters. The stars are called the Seven Sisters in Pleiades. I don't know if the tube station is named after, but I think it is. And Orion. It's beautiful. It's the easy one to see. You see, Orion. It says the sweet influence. Now somebody says, what is a star? Listen. The stars are probably more than we think or know. Because remember, the wise men followed the star to find Jesus. That's one. Number two, you know, when the devil was casting down, he says he took a third of the stars. A third of the stars. Huh? A third of the stars were removed. Now, Jesus Christ himself is called, yeah, look at it. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now let me explain to you the stars. You see that? Jesus is called the bright and the morning star. He's also called until the day star shall arise in your heart. You know, Daystar Television Network in Timothy says, until the day star. So we have a more sure word of prophecy, which is like a light that appeareth to him that sits in a dark place. Yes, Peter, shining in the darkness. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So stars, the stars are not us. Maybe what we think they are. Yes. And so in Job, which is the oldest book in the Bible, it talks about the influences of Pleiades or the bands of Orion. All right? And I can show you the Pleiades. It's beautiful. I can show you Orion. I can show you Arcturus, the sons of Arcturus. Beautiful. In the next one. These are stars. It's easy. It's not difficult to see. Once I show you once, you always see. You say, oh, that's Orion right there. Beautiful. Could these stars be having an influence on your destiny without you knowing it? Now, the stars are so far Some of them are 400 light years. Do you know what a light year is? A light year is 6 trillion miles. 6 trillion miles. And I know you don't understand that. But what... I know you don't understand so much that you can't understand it. But what it means is that if it's 400 light years away, it's 400 times 6 trillion miles, which is also you can't understand. But what it means is that, what it means, listen. What it means, if it's 10 light years away, it means that it takes 10 years for the light from the star to get to your eyes. So when you see the star, you are seeing, if it's 10 light years, you are seeing what it looked like 10 years ago. That's what it means. So when you see some of the stars are so far that it takes 200 light years for it. That's the distance, 200 light years. That means that when I look at the Pleiades, if it's 200 light years, I am seeing the Pleiades as it looked 200 years ago, which is in 1817. I'm seeing what it looked like in 1817. It's now arrived on Earth for my... Is it not amazing? And the furthest, one of the furthest stars is 400 light years. So you are seeing what it looked like in 1617. 400 light years away. That's a star. So even though we've been to the planet, we've been to this, we've gone to Jupiter and all that, it's nothing like a star. Planets are neighbors. If you go out in the sky, you see Venus, a big one. It's always there in the evening, you see Venus. That's a big one. Once it's not blinking, it's a planet. It's not a star. You see me after church, I'll show you how to distinguish between a planet and a star. Are you here or you are leaving? Yeah, it's beautiful. God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. She has a song like that, isn't it? Yeah. Beautiful. And it's not just by the star. It's just not by the size. But you see. So the stars may not be what you think they are. When you talk about the sweet influences. You see. So there seem to be some other forces. Sometimes it's just mystical. Somebody, a good person will die. A bad person will be very old. It will never feel weak. Never die for a long time. Different things. Amazing. So our prayers break and intervene in some of these destinies. Yes. So you must be found lying on your back in your room with your mouth open and speaking in the spirit. Rande kashalaba bandalaba 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 ba. Hey, is this what is over my head on the pulpit there? All right. I'd like to move my pulpit from here. No, I'm serious. I know a church where one of these things came down. Yeah. It was when I was speaking in tongues and I looked, I said, hey. Are you still around? There are many forces that are at work. So a person who just lies down, I tell you, some of you are more than hippos when you are sleeping. So, the stars, I tell you, they are powerful things. You may not know what it is, But they all have maybe some effect and things we don't know. So not to make a big doctrine out of it, but just for us to notice the scriptures that mention stars in the Bible. And these are not new things. But only that, you see, the reason why stars are not important to us today is because we have the compass. You know, so we don't really use stars to know the time or the way. But if you know the constellations, there's a constellation called the Big Dipper and the Small Dipper. And the Small Dipper, you have a star called the Northern Star, Polaris. It's always north over the North Pole. You see it right there, and it will guide you. So if you are on the sea and don't know where you are going, the star will lead you and show you this is where to go. But now we have compasses and phones, iPads, mobile phone network, and so on. So we don't look up anymore. But they were very important before. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, God is leading us to stamp out and to intervene in our lives. And I mean, so all of us, you know, a young person, you know, when I was in South Africa and I went all around, when I went to some of the towns and cities that are colored, you know, I found that the problems that were in the colored in Mitchell's Plain was the same in Upington, in Powell, far away. It's like the same. You even wonder that, why did they come for training from Mitchell's Plain and take it to what do you call it? I mean, like, is there a program? Is there a program that is officially being passed around? What is happening? And you don't have, and the problems that are in the colored are different from the ones that are in the black world. Or the black world. It's different. It's like different kind of problems. You know? One time somebody got hurt in the hospital, went to the hospital in one of our towns. It was a colored town. And the doctor said, we are waiting for the injuries. It's Sunday afternoon. We are expecting. And as they were there, they came. One, two, three, for stabbing, killing, this, everything. I tell you. You know, and I you see, if it's only prayers to God. You know, let us be men and rise up, be men of prayer. Prayer. Let the pastors be men. You know, Yonggi Cho, one time he said something. He said, you know, in his old age, I was sitting at a dinner table with him. He said to me, if I'm to start a church now, I'll just sit in my room and pray for the people to come. That's what he said. I'll just sit in my room and pray for them to come. That is the thing. We are not into prayer. We are not into prayer. So it takes away from our spiritual authority and our ability to guide the trends of the nation and the way it is going. You know, I don't know who the pastors were in the time of apartheid when it was about to switch over. But perhaps you had some great pastors, I don't know, who maybe interceded so much for this nation, and that the destiny of war was probably averted by their prayers. That's what I think. I don't know who the pastors were, but I'm sure that there were people that have prayed. I'm sure everybody thought this country is going to go ablaze into fire. It's going to burn down. There's going to be hell here. But I am sure there were some people. Hallelujah. Am I right or wrong? Is it what happened here? Yeah. Is it happened? Yeah, I'm sure. The interventionists. And now again, you see, because the influence is still there. It wants to come in another way. War in another way. Not in the official way. In other ways, other crime, different things. So we need pastors and men of God of prayer. And nobody is going to come from Ghana to pray for you here. We have our own wahala in Ghana. Do you understand wahala? We have our own problems. Nigeria have their own problems. They are also praying there. Everybody's country is teetering under the influence of the world, the flesh, human nature, wickedness, greed, crime, everything. You know, so we need to rise and pray and call on God for the nation. We need to mention scriptures before the throne of God and say, Lord, help us, save your nation, save your people. Do something great in South Africa again. And you must pray for your people, your children. Look at the pastors. How many young pastors do we have in South Africa? Do we have a lot? No. They're all shouting no. Many young people are not pastors. Pastors are older people. There are people sitting here who are my fathers. I can see that they are fathers. To me, at my age, they are fathers to me. They can give birth to me. Not even as their firstborn, as maybe the lastborn, the last child. It's true. I can be the last baby of some of the fathers here. Huh? Where are the young colored apostles? The young colored prophets? The young colored teachers who will stand and say, the Spirit entered into me. When he spoke to me, I want these kind of people who can affect the colored world and beyond and start to go to Judea and Samaria. I want to see a colored pastor who has blacks, whites, Indians, have gone to Samaria, because you have Judea and Samaria all within South Africa. But you don't see much of that. Somebody told me that colored churches are not big. Yeah. Somebody told me, you don't hardly have a colored church that is a big church. I don't know if it's true. Is it true? How can I know? I'm telling you what somebody told me. You tell me that it's not true or not. I don't know anything. I don't live here. He said that the colored people don't have big churches. But we can break that. And we are breaking it in the name of Jesus. The destiny is greatness. Great church for you. Your smallness is not your future. Did you hear me? I said, your smallness is not your future. Yeah. Isaiah 2 verse 1. Isaiah 2 verse 1. I want you to see this. The word that Isaiah the Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which is us. Jerusalem, we are all come to Mount Zion, Jerusalem. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass in the last days. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Amen. And shall be exalted above the hills. You know, the mountain, the Lord's house is called a mountain. It's not called a molehill. It's not called an anthill. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. I want to invite you all to visit Switzerland, my home country. Visit the mountains. You see beautiful mountains. If you want beautiful mountains, come to Switzerland. Yeah. Table Mountain is a little hill. Compared to the mountain. It's not a, it's a little hill. You want real mountains? Come to Switzerland. White, 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 white. With special trains to take you up. Special cable car. Best cable cars Swiss made. That's why Swiss people are good at making lifts. My people, we are good at making lifts. You know, see, Schindler lift is Swiss. Schindler, Swiss. Cable cars. Yeah. Now, amongst the mountains, there are always senior mountains. So sometimes you get a picture of white mountains like this. And then you see there's a big one. And it's there. They label it. That's it. Like Mont Blanc. Mont Blanc means White Mountain. It's the big one in Europe. You see the mountains. They are all high around it, but this is the senior. And the Bible is saying that it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. So it will be a superior mountain. Hallelujah. And shall be exalted above the hills. Yes. And all nations shall flow. All nations. Not only coloreds. Not only blacks. Not only Sotus. Not only Zulus. All nations shall flow into it. Hallelujah. And verse 3. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the house, let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob. Ha ha. For he will teach us of his ways. He will teach us of his ways. Amen. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. Hallelujah. Amen. God is going to do it. Look at me standing here. Who am I? When I wanted to be in the ministry, my father said, okay, you can do what you want. No pastor stretched out his hand to help me. They stretched out their hand to resist me. That's why I say to you, God is going to do great things in your life and your ministry. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. Isaiah 60. Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Notice, for darkness, behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Now, darkness is beginning to creep all over Africa, all over the world. And gross darkness, the people. But, so you see, that's why you should never lose hope, I tell you. Right in this South Africa, never think that all is lost. There is no quality of darkness that can wipe out. Have you ever seen light coming on and the darkness says, I won't go? The darkness has no choice. You are going because the light is on. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. You see, that's the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And his glory shall be seen upon thee. Look at the next verse. And the Gentiles. You see, people who are foreigners to you shall come to thy light. You see, the light and the word that you speak. And the light that comes from your life and your ministry. Gentiles shall come to thy light. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, darkness shall cover the whole earth, and gross darkness the peoples of the earth. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. His glory shall be seen upon thee. The Gentiles shall come to the brightness of thy rising. You are going to rise. And in the midst of your rising, Gentiles will be called. Come, 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 come. Don't be afraid. South Africa is a blessed nation. And South Africa depends on the pastors. Your light has come. You must arise. You must shine. You must shine. You must shine. You must shine. King shall come to the brightness of thy rising. King shall come to the brightness of thy rising. They cannot ignore you and ignore your opinion. King shall come to the brightness of thy rising. Verse 4. Lift up thine eyes and see. Lift up thine eyes and see. All they gather themselves, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar. Thy sons shall come from afar. And thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. God is going to bring people. God is going to bring people from far. Sing it. rising.
To pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain.
It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Your church will be established. Your kingdom shall come. Your work shall be done. Your will shall be done. The church will be big. The church will be great. Your will be done. Gentiles shall come to our light. Kings shall come to the brightness of our rising. Thank you that gross darkness may be the end. But the glory of the Lord is written upon us. Your glory shall be seen in our lives. Thank you for the greatness of your church. Thank you for the mountain of the Lord's house. 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 Just thank the Lord for his blessing tonight. Just thank the Lord for his blessing. For his blessing. Thank the Lord for his blessing. Thank the Lord for his blessing. Blessing. Thank the Lord for his blessing. Thank the Lord for his blessing. Shandola makabarandala. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Lambo shandala makabara. Lema rasundala makabarandala. Oh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established.
To the brightness of
Jesus, thanks a million for your blessing of your word that is released to your church. Thank you for raising up good shepherds, great workers, your great harvest. Thank you that the future is bright. Very bright. Very, very bright. Very, 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 very bright. For your church. For your work. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.